All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by Josh Kendall of The Athletic to give the lowdown on day one of the Falcons training camp. And it sounds like there's not going to be any competition between Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder for the Falcons starting quarterback. We'll get an update on Deion Jones' status, and we'll sort of get Josh's opinion on what to make of the ongoing competitions along the offensive line.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this distinguished Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. We thank everyone that makes Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and you can also check us out on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube. Hit that bell, give us that like, and you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So today's episode, we'll be talking all about day one reactions to Falcons training camp. And I had a conversation with Josh Kendall of The Athletic. Unfortunately, the audio quality of that was not great enough for me to present that. I basically did my best to clean up the audio for that, and I will sort of play you a series of like basically 1 minute clips for Josh, sort of clarify some of the things that are a little warbled with the audio and give you sort of my reaction to it on today's episode. And we'll sort of start things off breaking down the ongoing quarterback competition or lack thereof. So let me play that audio on my phone.
Let's jump right into it. You know, any sort of surprises from day one of Falcons training camp, or was it sort of all according to plan?
It was probably a cool observation coming out of it. And I wrote about this. I talked to Charles London, and he said definitive starter. And I know that that's not a surprise. I know that Arthur Smith essentially said that in April. That Charles said it almost definitively. It was, I mean, I think we've all built up, or maybe that there might be some sort of quarterback competition competing for the starting job. And I think that Desmond Ridder's absolutely even a good shot to play this year. But it's pretty clear that right now, and to look at this as Desmond Ridder is the guy we're trying to develop.
You talk about the quarterback competition. D. Orlando Ledbetter was recently on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast, and he basically said there was like a 2% chance that Ridder could win the job week one. Do you feel like it's that sort of sided in Mariota's favor at this point in time?
I do. Ridder himself said after the practice it's still a good ways ahead of him.
So clarifying what Josh said on that, basically, you know, Charles London kind of put things to bed. The expectation were that there was going to be a competition, sort of mentioning that Arthur Smith is not the person to go to get sort of clarity on that. Mentioned at the end that Ridder basically admitted that, you know, Marcus Mariota was a good ways ahead of him. So fully expectation, I think a lot of us have had for now several weeks, if not months now, that Marcus Mariota will be the starter week one. And Josh also said that he believes Desmond Ridder will be the starter at some point this year, but it won't be in week one. And now we get into the interpretive part for me today. And, you know, for me, it's basically not a surprise in that regard, but we'll just sort of keep an eye on Ritter's progress throughout camp. You know, it's going to be a question of, does he sort of close the gap between now and the end of camp? And that's likely to come via preseason games if he can really move the needle and close that gap and make this, you know, a potential legit competition. It's similar to what Matt Ryan did when he unseated Chris Redmond as a starter. back in 2008. I can think of other examples of like Derek Carr beating out Matt Schaub in 2014, Russell Wilson beating out Matt Flynn in 2012 as some examples of guys that really got a boost from their performances in the preseason game. And we know the Falcons' first preseason action isn't until August 12th. Their second one is August 22nd. And then their finale against the Jaguars is August 27th. And I think basically if you're on team, you know, Desmond Ridder at this point in time, I guess your hope is, if that's what it comes down to, is that Mariota struggles in the preseason games and Ridder plays really well and shines in those preseason games. That's basically what happened with the Redmond-Ryan situation back in 08, where Chris Redmond really kind of struggled in the preseason. Matt Ryan was kind of lights out, and that sort of allowed Matt Ryan to sort of leapfrog Redmond by the time we got to the third preseason game in that sort of dress rehearsal game. And we'll sort of have to figure out what exactly will be the dress rehearsal game for the Falcons this year. I'm assuming it's going to be the third game against the Jaguars, similar to kind of how that was the only time we got to see some of these starters last year in the third preseason game. So we'll sort of have to keep an eye on that as things unfold. But even in this scenario where Ridder does play well in the preseason and Mariota struggles, I think at this point in time, we'll see how it develops, right? But at this point in time, you're expecting, like, it has to be night and day different. Like, Mariota has to be terrible and Ridder has to be great in order for that gap to close enough where we're really having a conversation by the end of the summer that Ridder is a legit option to start week one. So almost certainly you're going to get Mariota starting week one. And really, I think what's at stake for Ridder is not necessarily usurping Mariota as the week one starter, but it's just sort of shortening the leash on Marcus Mariota. The better Ridder plays, the shorter that leash is going to be on Marcus Mariota as the season unfolds, right? And, you know, we'll sort of see how things happen, see how things unfold. Nothing is decided on day one of training camp, and we'll sort of see where we are, you know, a month from now, and that will give us a lot more clarity going into the season. But one of the things I noted on this podcast coming out of the draft was thinking, oh, you know, there's like a 70% chance that Mariota's the week one starter. I think sitting here today, we would say that's well over 90% at this point in time, whether it's 90, whether it's 98, whether it's 99.9, you know, is up to each individual person to interpret that sort of situation. And I think really at this point in time, we're more paying attention to just how ready is Desmond Ridder, right? You know, we can hypothetically come up with a million different scenarios of the timetable for when Desmond Ridder is going to get on the field at some point this year. You know, we mentioned quite a bit on this podcast since the schedule dropped in mid-May that sort of window from weeks 8 to week 13 where the Falcons schedule is the softest. It is this season as a prime opportunity for Ridder to get on the field. And so basically the better Ridder performs from here on out, the higher the chances that may be that prime window for him to play, or possibly earlier, or, you know, the worse he is, the possible way that pushes that window further down the line. So, you know, obviously we'll keep you updated on the quarterback competition, but basically, long story short, it doesn't seem like there's really a quarterback competition at all at this point in time. And we'll sort of have to see, you know, as the rest of the camp unfolds, if there are any changes to the status quo in that regard. But we'll move on, talk a little bit more about what are real competitions seemingly at the offensive line position, focusing primarily at that center spot where Drew Dolman did get the bulk of the first team reps on day one of training camp and what exactly that means, how Josh interprets that as we continue today's episode, guys. But before we get there, you know, I know me personally, I'm a big fan of cookies. I'm also a big fan of cookie dough. In fact, sometimes depending on, you know, what it is, I'm a bigger fan of cookie dough than the actual cookies themselves. But sometimes maybe you and myself, you know, feel judged for that, or maybe you're not necessarily big on consuming raw eggs. It obviously can be dangerous if you've ever had salmonella poisoning, but Built Bar is now giving you that cookie dough flavor without any of those drawbacks, because Built Bars are low in sugar, calories, and carbs, but high in protein and fiber. Built Bars are the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They're even better than a candy bar because they not only taste good, they're good for you. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Whether you're looking at limited time flavors like the cookie dough chunk or you're going for tried and trues like cookies and cream, double chocolate, coconut almond, cherry barcia, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, and more. So find your favorite or try them all with a mix box. You can get that variety however you want to get your protein fix, whether that's pre, post-workout, whether that's a quick pick-me-up, all day long. Just head on over to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. So we have another clip from Josh Kindle on the offensive line situation. So let's play that.
Now, we're talking about the quarterback competition. One of the other things that was notable, to at least to me, was the fact that Drew Dolman got those first team reps with, at the starting center position. One of the interesting things from this offseason was that the Falcons seemingly were bringing back the same starting five from a year ago, but obviously that included Matt Hennessy at the center position. I know Arthur Smith, after practice, kind of indicated that, you know, there will be sort of a rotation and a back and forth between there. Sort of what do you make of the competitions going on the offensive line? And do you feel like Drew Dolman is ahead of Matt Hennessy at this point, though?
Oh, we were going to jump straight into the Anthony Rush conversation.
Okay.
As for Dolman, what I just said, Arthur Smith's not going to say anything of kind. He can say all he wants to. But the fact is, Dolman was the first guy out there. That means tomorrow it may change.
So, obviously, that was a little choppy. Obviously, that included Josh, you know, busting my chops for Anthony Rush-related tweets. But basically, he was saying, going back to the earlier point about the quarterback competition, Arthur Smith's not known for, you know, saying anything of consequence about these competitions. But, of course, Dolman getting those first team reps is notable. Sort of we'll see on day two of training camp if, you know, it sort of flip-flops and Hennessy's getting those first team reps, or does Dolman continue to get those reps over the course of the week? And so Josh didn't necessarily say this, but we'll get into the my sort of interpretive part of this conversation. You know, paying attention to sort of the day-to-day of who's getting the majority of those first team snaps is going to be noteworthy as these early days unfold. We know that there are three open, I use air quotes, competitions for starting jobs along the offensive line. You have left guard, you got center, you got right tackle. Personally, I don't think there's really any real competition at that left guard position. I know I'm cynical, but the Falcons seemingly have done the least amount of work to bring in any real competition at that left guard position. The most experienced left guard on the roster other than Jalen Mayfield is Kobe Gossett, who has 5 career starts at that position, followed by Jonathan Harrison, who has 4 career starts. Kobe Gossett was getting the second team reps at the right guard position, while Harrison was presumably getting those third string reps at the center position. It was, in fact, Elijah Wilkinson who was getting those second team left guard reps. So presumably, at least on day one, is in best position to push Jalen Mayfield. And Elijah Wilkinson, whether you look at the preseason or the regular season throughout his career in Denver and Chicago, has 0 career snaps at left guard. So it's a brand new position. And so you would assume that the Falcons, if they were really trying to push Jalen Mayfield, would not bring in someone who's basically never played the position before. And so as a, you know, vocal skeptic of the current regime, you know, that's not necessarily a promising sign to me when I think about, you know, this stuff, but I'll let it go. You know, we'll just sort of have to wait and see how Jalen Mayfield looks when he gets on the field in the preseason, when we get to August 12th. But, you know, that means that for me, the real competitions on the offensive line is really at center and at right tackle. Again, we'll keep an eye on sort of who's getting those first team reps, you know, this week and throughout the coming weeks. You know, if it's a 50-50 split between Dolman and Hennessy at center, or McGarry and Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle, or does it lean heavily in one player's favor, and that's going to indicate sort of who is sort of the front runner to win those competitions come week one. And obviously, like the all the other position battles on this team, you know, how guys perform in the preseason is certainly going to matter. You can think back to that 2019 summer where Ty Sambrella was getting those early summer reps at the starting right tackle position, given that Caleb McGarry was dealing with his heart condition. And then, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, Sambrella is going to be the week one starter. Then we got to the second preseason game. He was kind of a disaster against the Jets that opened the door for not only Caleb McGarry, but also Matt Gano. Matt Gano then got injured the following week. Caleb McGarry came in the preseason finale, played pretty well against the Jaguars and sort of, you know, stole the competition at that point in time. Although you can admit, given that Caleb McGarry was the first round pick, that the Falcons wanted him to win the competition, similar to what I just discussed with Jalen Mayfield. So we'll see how that all plays out. You know, as for Drew Dolman and whether or not, you know, he can push Matt Hennessy, you know, this goes back to something we were talking about in January, February, when we were doing the offensive line season review on this podcast. And like when I went back and watched the film of the offensive line and saw some of these moments for Drew Dolman, I came away a lot more impressed with Drew Dolman. So essentially, the idea of Drew Dolman being the new starter at the center position, I've touched upon this, you know, back in June when we did the offensive line preview in terms of shaking things up. I'm much more open to the idea of Drew Dolman starting, you know, for this team week one at the center position moving forward. You know, I thought outside of that second Tampa Bay game where, you know, he had a couple of bad reps or bad snap against and in the goal line and then kind of got pushed around by Vita Vea, but who doesn't? You know, you look at his limited action against the Eagles in week one, later in the season in sort of garbage time against the Cowboys, and then sort of rotating and platooning with Hennessy in that Jaguars game the week before that Bucs game, I thought Dolman did some good work. And so, you know, similar to how it is with Jalen Mayfield, you know, he's this regime's guy, given that he was a fourth round pick last year. And unlike Mayfield, you know, if this regime's sort of thumbs are sort of pressing down on the scales to weight it in Dolman's favor for whatever reason, like they're, I basically argued they're doing with Jalen Mayfield, I'm kind of fine with that, right? Just because the glimpses we saw of Drew Dolman and believing that, you know, he's potentially an upgrade over Matt Hennessy. You go back to my scouting report of Drew Dolman last year after last year's draft, and I basically said in that episode that at least based off of what Dolman did at Stanford and what Matt Hennessy did at Temple, I thought Dolman was a better prospect than Matt Hennessy was, just in large part due to, I think, bringing a little bit more nastiness and physicality to his game so that he may be better suited to overcome his size limitations than Matt Hennessy potentially could. While we know Matt Hennessy isn't a small guy, he's basically, from a height weight standpoint, the same size as Alex Mack, but he's much more of a finesse guy. So despite being 6'4", 307, or 310, or whatever Matt Hennessy is, he plays like a much smaller guy. And even though Drew Dolman's like, what, 6'2", 300, or whatever the case may be, I feel like Dolman has that nastiness to bring a little bit more oomph in the run game, especially, although obviously, you know, against the Vita Veas of the world, that's still going to be a problem, but it was also a problem for Matt Hennessy. So it'll be interesting to see how things develop. It'll be interesting to see if we start to see Jermaine Ifedi sort of platooning with Caleb McGarry for first team reps at that right tackle position. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, there's any real competition for Jalen Mayfield at that left guard position as well. So that's where we'll leave the conversation with the offensive line, and we'll see what develops over the course of the next week. We'll wrap up today's episode talking about Michael Walker sort of, you know, pulling a Drew Dolman and getting those first team reps on day one at the Will linebacker spot and sort of surprising us there. We'll also talk about sort of Deion Jones's status moving forward and get Josh's thoughts on that coming up. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, where you can find three shows with four hosts breaking down local sports as well as national sports. You got A to Z with Mark Zeno, Hitting Hard with John Chuckery, ATL Day Ones with Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste. If you want to check out D. Orlando Ledbetter's comments, you can go check out Hitting Hard with John Chuckery earlier this week to get his thoughts on the big storylines entering training camp. And of course, if you also check out Locked On Sports Atlanta on your preferred podcast app or on YouTube specifically, you will also be able to check out Locked On Braves postcast breaking down every Atlanta Braves win and loss this year all the way till we get to October when the Braves, you know, run it back for another World Series champion. Championship. And of course, Locked On Sports Atlanta is going to be the place for the Atlanta Falcons postcast this summer and this fall, where you will have me and Jarvis Davis, the co-host of ATL Day Ones, breaking down every Falcons win and loss in the preseason and during the regular season as well. So we'll wrap up today's episode getting Josh's thoughts on the linebacker position, and we'll play that audio now.
Besides Anthony Rush, what other competitions do you think are as of note based off of just these day one observations?
I was a little surprised, and again, surprised to see Michael Walker out front. I thought quick cast start there. I think it's a good sign for Michael Walker, who clearly had the chip on his shoulder about the fact that he didn't last year. He's got a golden opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, you talk about Michael Walker, you know, his status, I guess, as well as Nick Kwiatkowski's, is kind of related to the Deion Jones situation. Sort of, I've talked about the Deion Jones situation on this podcast a number of times, sort of with the idea that at some point in time, the Falcons will probably part ways with Deion Jones. I'm curious, what's your thoughts on the situation and Deion Jones' status with the team moving forward?
Yeah, I've been with you. I think they move on eventually. What Arthur Smith said today, hopefully he'll come back in here healthy. And I don't think those were necessarily idle words. I think he may have some qualms about how Deion Jones has competed.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. Let's talk about Michael Walker initially. Certainly a promising sign that Michael Walker is getting at least the day one reps for that Will linebacker spot, and potentially sets him up to be the week one starter. I've gone on record saying that I feel like Nick Kwiatkowski is going to win that competition. Josh also indicated his expectation going into training camp that Kwiatkowski would be the front runner there, but obviously a promising sign that Walker is getting those first team reps. We'll see if, similar to the offensive line competition, if they kind of split those things up, or does Walker sort of, you know, take the early lead and retain that lead. The main reason why I've expected Kwiatkowski to win that starting competition is just because he is the only linebacker on the team that has experience wearing the green dot, i.e. calling the defense. You know, Rashawn Evans didn't do that in Tennessee. Obviously, Michael Walker hasn't done that in his first 2 years in Atlanta. But as I noted with Jarvis Davis on Friday's episode last week, you know, I have routinely underestimated Michael Walker over these last couple of years. And so should he emerge this summer, you know, I will certainly be pleasantly surprised, and we'll see if he's the one tasked with wearing that green dot and calling the defense, or does Rashawn Evans's sort of experience in the scheme allow him to take on that mantle here in Atlanta that he didn't necessarily have in Tennessee when Jayon Brown was more that guy. So, you know, we'll see how that develops. And I should add, technically, Kwiatkowski isn't the only player on the roster that has worn the green dot. He was the only player in practice today that has worn the green dot, because Deion Jones wasn't practicing today, but he is technically on the roster, and he wore the green dot for the Falcons during the first 5 years of his NFL career. And that's where we'll move into the conversation surrounding Deion Jones. And essentially the update on Deion Jones is, you know, Arthur Smith saying that he'll have a better idea on what Deion Jones's timetable for returning is next week. And sort of those words that Josh was mentioning that Arthur Smith said was, hopefully he returns and come back ready to compete. And so those were the sort of not idle words that Josh sort of mentioned. And so we'll see about that. You know, not a whole lot of clarity on Deion Jones's status, but clarity and Arthur Smith are oxymorons. They're like oil and water. You know, his philosophy when it comes to the media is to treat him like mushrooms, which is keep him in the dark and feed him, you know, crap, as they said. So if you're new to the podcast, and, you know, this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, I get these training camp updates, or you're a fan of another team and you're just trying to, you know, do your league wraparounds or whatever the case may be, and you haven't heard the conversations that I have and the opinions I've expressed about Deion Jones' status over the last 2 months, I'll give you the skinny on that. But, you know, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. But basically, the expectation I have, and Josh seemingly has that expectation as well, and we're not alone in this, you know, is that the Falcons will likely part ways with Deion Jones at some point this summer, right? The thing I've noted is that I think his offseason, the timing of his offseason surgery, shoulder surgery, and going on the PUP list, that physically unable to perform list, that basically means he hasn't passed a physical and he's injured. And once he is eligible to pass the physical, he'll come off that PUP list and be ready to practice. I think that has basically thrown a wrench into the Falcons' timeline. I do expect Deion Jones to be back at some point this summer and practicing to come off that PUP list, and we'll see, you know, how much competition he can provide given, you know, he has real experience at the position, but there are a lot of questions about him being an ideal scheme fit in this DNP scheme. But I think right now the Falcons are hoping, and we'll see if this ideal sort of scenario plays out this way, but they're hoping that something happens as we probably get closer to cutdowns. And the cutdown to 85 players from the current 90-man roster is August 16th. Then it goes down to 80 players the following week on the 23rd. And then on the 30th is when final cuts are made. And I think the Falcons are hoping that some point between now and August 30th, a trade market will develop for Deion Jones and they'll be able to get something for him. Even if that's, you know, a 2024 seventh round pick, which in NFL circles is basically giving a guy away for practically nothing. And I've used comparisons to the situation with the 49ers involving not only Jimmy Garoppolo, but Dee Ford, with drawing parallels to the situation with Deion Jones, that, you know, 49ers made it clear on their opening day of training camp that Trey Lance is their starting quarterback and that they will move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. And so seemingly the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster, they're waiting for a trade market, hoping for a trade market to develop later this summer. And in the case of Dee Ford, they've gone on record multiple times earlier this summer to basically say that once Dee Ford is healthy and passes his physical, they will move on from him, whether that's a cut or trade. We'll have to sort of see. You know, I doubt it's going to be that drastic where the Falcons are moving on from Deion Jones next week, presumably if he is ready to practice and come off that PUP list and pass that physical. But it wouldn't shock me at this point in time. And again, we'll see how things develop over the next month or so. But if we get closer, as we get closer to that, you know, August 30th, final cut deadline, if a trade hasn't really developed, you know, I do think the Falcons may wind up cutting Deion Jones and just eating the dead money and just moving on at that point in time. Josh obviously didn't say that, but that's just sort of my personal read on the situation. So, you know, there are other comments that Josh made as we wound up talking for 10 minutes, and I basically played you maybe like 3 minutes of that at most. But the other audio wasn't really as salvageable, but he also touched upon, you know, Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant opening up camp as the starting safeties, and that's a good sign for both of those guys. He talked about the rookies like Drake London and Arnold Ebiketie that got more early work with the starters in training camp, and that's a positive sign for those guys and something to keep an eye on to see if any other rookies like Troy Anderson and Desmond Ridder, you know, start pushing and joining those guys near the top of the depth chart, or if they sort of relegated as they currently seem to be as sort of second teamers as the summer unfolds. But you can get more insight into that by checking out Josh's notes over at The Athletic, as well as other observations. And, you know, if you are not a subscriber to The Athletic, I can't recommend it enough. I usually don't shill for things other than sort of Locked On sponsors here on the podcast, but I think the current price is like $1 a month at The Athletic. So you can basically play a dollar today and get all of The Athletic's Falcons camp coverage, as well as coverage of the other 31 NFL teams, in addition to all of the other multitude of sports that The Athletic is covering as well. So I can't think of a better bargain at this point in time than to go over to theathletic.com and join and subscribe and be able to check out more of Josh's notes if you don't already have that subscription, guys. So that's going to do it for us here on today's. I believe tomorrow we should be rejoined by Jarvis Davis and get his thoughts on training camp so far. If you're wondering, you know, what happened to the Julio picture on the back of my wall, it's been replaced with an Aaron Donald poster, a small poster I had, you know, as a Pitt legend. You know, he goes in a, basically I have a policy of only goats go up on this wall. Julio was up there. He signed with the Bucks. He's going to have to take a break from this wall for at least, you know, a couple of days, if not weeks, if not months, on the wall. We'll see if you know, Aaron Donald gets joined by another Falcons goat. Maybe I could see if I can find a Deion Sanders, you know, sort of print to put up behind me or whatever the case may be. So that's the update there for those of you who are wondering what that's all about. And so I apologize for maybe the audio quality of today's episode being a little rough and, you know, not necessarily a little bit more unorthodox, but we'll be back tomorrow to break down day two. Hopefully with Jarvis Davis, haven't confirmed that quite yet. And we'll see, you know, what unfolds over the course of the weekend as these early days of training camp and see, you know, sort of what competitions are moving needle, who's sort of shining, all those various things. And we'll get into all of that over the coming days and weeks as well, guys. So it's good to be talking about, you know, football being back and whatnot, and we'll sort of see how these things go for the rest of the summer. And hopefully you won't have to, you know, listen to my phone, and anybody who wants to talk trash about, you know, me having an Android phone, you know, by all means do it. But I've already just given in to our robot overlords over at Google that are going to eventually take over the world. So I'm one of the good humans that is going to placate them, while the rest of you guys on that Apple, you know, as you are the majority, you can fight the good fight, but you know, I'm not. So I'm on the side of our robot overlords in that regard. So that's what I'll say, guys. Leave a comment and let me know, you know, whose side you're going to pick in the oncoming human, you know, cyborg war in the future, you know, Google, Apple, whatever the case may be. So let me know and what your thoughts are on these ongoing competitions in training camp, you know, for all of you Mariota stands that are like, I told you that Mariota is going to be like, yeah, we all thought Mariota would be the starter. We were just wondering if, you know, sort of Ritter could make a run at this thing. So, you know, leave that comment. I'm looking forward to that. Let me know what you think about Deion Jones' status, Michael Walker status, Drew Dolman status, Caleb McGarry, etc. Leave all that in the comments, or you can hit me up via email at lockdownfalcons@mail.com. You can also hit me up on social media, either Twitter or Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Appreciate it. Till then.